Welcome back, guys, to the Humble Coach Podcast. My name is Porrick. We're kicking off today with a brilliant coach, I think, in the past number of years with Jordan Syatt. If you don't know who Jordan Syatt is, guys, I'm sure you either will know very, very soon, or we'll know quick enough after this podcast who he is. So, Jordan, thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Excellent. So I suppose first off, guys, I'll let Jordan explain a little bit more about his kind of maybe background stuff, but he is a pretty high profile client, I think, these days. But at the same stage, I think he's had a pretty impressive career up to now, even still. So, Jordan, if you could kind of go into a little bit of your background and how you got into coaching and into training in general. Even from your kind of your powerlifting days and things like that, if you could give us a bit of a background, that'd be great.
Yeah, so I'll try and keep it brief. Basically, yeah. I grew up as a wrestler. I started wrestling when I was 8 years old, and I fell in love with the sport. It was like everything. That's all I thought about. And then from freshman year in high school, I made varsity. Wrestling, and I had to cut a lot of weight. So I was cutting from 112 to 103 pounds every week for every competition. And basically, I had to figure out how to maintain strength and performance while still cutting a lot of weight. So got really into strength and conditioning and also nutrition. And basically, I was really fortunate and lucky that I stumbled across some really amazing coaches and online resources at such a young age of 14. I reached out to a kettlebell gym that was in a couple towns over from me.
Nice.
And I was like, hey, I want to learn how to use kettlebells properly. Like, I feel like at that point in my life, I figured like kettlebells were the key, and like because of what I was reading online. But I thought like they were like the end all be all. So yeah. I contacted this gym and I was like, I'll like clean your floors. I'll take your trash out. Just let me come and intern. And they did. Nice. And then they turned out to be very science-based coaches and really smart coaches, and
awesome.
Still some of my best friends and mentors to this day.
Nice.
But like they sort of thrust me into the science-based world of coaching at 14 years old, and they started giving me clients to work with and developing as a coach, and I loved it. It was like just everything I wanted to do.
Brilliant.
So really from 14 until now, that's been what I've done. It's coaching has been everything.
Excellent.
I started competing in powerlifting around 18, 19 years old, and that was when I finished high school wrestling. I started doing that and fell in love with it. I was fortunate to do very well and compete at a world class level, and that was a big push for my brand, my business online,
yeah.
Just being able to compete at a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
I went to college, and I originally started studying exercise science, and I realized it was a waste of time and money just because I had spent so long in the field already.
Yeah.
The stuff they were teaching was outdated and not good. And basically I switched from exercise science to behavioral health psychology to understand more like the psychology and deeper reasons why people make the decisions they make in regard to their health, which was 100% the best move I could have made. And all along that time, I was building my online website, writing articles, blah blah blah. And over that time, people started contacting me for online coaching all through college. And basically, by the time I graduated college, I didn't have to work for anybody else. I just worked for my computer for online coaching.
Nice.
And then more recently, a little over a year ago, Gary Vaynerchuk, really big entrepreneur based in New York City, contacted me and told me I had applied for a job to coach him as his personal strength and nutrition coach, and I got the job. So I moved. I was living in Israel at the time, so I moved from Israel to New York to coach Gary, and now that's where I am, coaching Gary and doing my online business.
Awesome, awesome, great stuff. It's a brilliant story. I think like that, a lot of people may not be aware of a huge amount of your previous kind of training history and sports history, which I think is even your early kind of training career would set up, and it explains a lot more to me about how much I suppose you would have quite a mature approach to your education protocol at the moment, I think. in the ability to distill things very, very straightforward and very, very well, so that they can be easily digestible, I think. I think that's one of the biggest things I've noticed in the last number of years. Even in my own coaching, I'm improving so much in adjusting things down into a very straightforward type of manner for so many people to be able to get. Do you want to speak a little bit on that and why and how you've chosen? I suppose like I look at the likes of your Twitter, your Instagram, even your general training and your quality of training with the likes of Gary, who's a challenging enough character. I'm sure he's a great. he sounds like a handful, but he sounds like a brilliant workhorse, and would be really interesting to kind of deal with, I think. But do you find that you have much of a challenge switching between the likes of working with him and your online clients who might be a little bit less interested or less eager potentially to make really, really big pushes, and they would just have general kind of challenges? Do you have much of a difficulty in switching between those kind of roles, or?
No, mostly just because, I mean, the online stuff is what I've done, like,
for so long.
Obsessively for the last 6+ years. Mm-hmm. It's just that's second nature for me. And then coaching Gary is I think I'm very lucky in that I'm very good at being able to mold myself to whatever the client needs in whatever situation, whether it's online or in person. Mm-hmm. Gary is relatively easy. He doesn't. It's not like a mental stressor or emotional stressor for me to try and figure him out, because the great thing about Gary is he will literally do anything I say.
He's just like, bought in. Like,
anything I tell him, he will do. I could tell him to do the most ridiculously stupid thing, and he would do it, because like he takes orders and he does it, and like that's that. He doesn't complain. He doesn't whine. He doesn't. He really doesn't even question it. He's like, done. Go. Yeah. And like he just. Basically, when I came on, he told me, he's like, Jordan, you're the CEO of my body. Mm-hmm. Like, let's go. And when a client gives you that kind of power, and they actually live up to it, it's the best, because like they'll just if something doesn't work, you'll know, because they tried it 100%. But at least like they're giving it their all, and you can adjust from there.
Totally.
Going to my online clients, like some of them are like more enthusiastic than Gary, and some of them are not as enthusiastic, and some of them need less attention. Some of them need more attention, but it's always just dependent on the client, whether it's in person or not. So it's not really difficult to go back and forth. It's mostly the greatest difficulty is whoever the client is, online or in person, is figuring out, okay, what does this person need and how can I give it to them best?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose with that kind of a question, I suppose the next thing would be, how have you any particular ways do you think that you have improved your quality of ability to work with your online clients, and how you built up such a strength, I suppose, in that? Was that because you came into it such an early age and you had such an exposure to it in such a really, really good facility, and then having to actually just be in the trenches for so long? Or have you changed your kind of ideas considerably over the last number of years, and are they still, they would be still evolving, I'm assuming.
So what is the question, just to clarify? I want to make sure I actually answer the right question.
So would you, have you a particular, I suppose, style of working with your online clients, as opposed, at the moment, as opposed to the way you would have dealt with them at the beginning? Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And I think, I'll be honest, I think if you're not doing something different as a coach, if Eric Cressy said something one time in a Facebook status, I think it must have been 3 or 4 years ago now, that really hit home for me. And he said, if you're not looking back at the training programs that you wrote from 6 months ago and thinking, wow, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
Then you're not getting better as a coach.
True, very true.
And that's just one example of, and the funny thing is like, I can look at back at the training programs I wrote 6 months ago and the clients, and they got amazing results. Mm-hmm. But I can also look back and say, wow, that was really stupid.
Yeah.
Which just goes to show you, like, there's always, like, it's not even necessarily about the perfect program as it is about consistency.
Yeah.
But my methods as a coach absolutely change on a very regular basis, for sure.
Yeah, excellent. And do you, I suppose, a little bit more in a different direction, do you think at the moment that there is significant elements of training people and coaching people that we as coaches are not doing enough on? Is it the distillery, the distillation of the knowledge so that people can really get it and actually be able to implement it? Is that something that we are missing out as coaches? Are we going a little bit more strength and conditioning and a little bit more kind of off on a more performance-oriented tangent that we could improve on as coaches, do you think? Or are we kind of okay at the moment?
You know, I think there's a mix of both. I think we're doing great in some senses,
yeah,
and that's amazing. I think there are some areas we're doing like absolutely miserably in, and I think there's a couple things that I would like to see improved. Mm-hmm. I would say I'm speaking specifically about the science-based crowd as well, in regard to coaching, not so much like the mainstream magazine crowd.
Yeah.
Specifically like the science-based coaches, because that's really where I am and I'm focused. But I would say the one thing that the science-based coaches are doing really well is, and this is what the other, like the mainstream people generally don't do well, is the science-based coaches really care about the results. Like, they're very passionate. They want to help people. They're like, they're sometimes so passionate, and like, it hurts. Like, all they want to do is help people. And that's just, you can't teach that. It's just inherent within you.
Yeah.
Either you have it or you don't. And I love seeing that so many people do.
Exactly.
The areas that I see us dramatically failing is, number one, meeting the client where they're at. Rather, like, essentially, I think you should go to the client and, like, maybe stop, like, a foot away and then have them push through to get to you, and then step back another foot and get to you.
Yeah.
Whereas what a lot of science-based coaches are doing, consciously or not, they are staying stuck right where they are, and the client is a mile away, and they're basically like, all right, let's go, come here. And it's like, and this is my analogy for basically saying, like, hey, I'm going to toss a lot of information at you, and a lot of this is going to be very high-level knowledge that you don't understand, and I'm going to expect you to sift through all of this information and understand it while still changing your habits, while starting a new lifestyle, and I'm not really going to break it down further. You should just know.
Yeah.
And I'm of the opinion that's basically creating a massive barrier, and the more that someone doesn't know, and the more that you're just forcing on them, assuming that they know, they should know, or like if they really cared, like you hear the science-based coaches say this a lot, if they really cared about it, they would study it and research it. And I'm like, listen, I get it, but you studied and researched it, number one, because you actually cared about the topic and you're interested in it, and number two, because you had the time, because that's what you're studying.
Exactly.
There are people who have families and kids who have full-time jobs. Like, not everyone has the time to sit and research this stuff for hours on end. And it's our job to take the information we've learned and break it down simply and basically and literally spoon feed it to them.
Yeah.
Because that's our job. It would be like if you hired a lawyer to help you with your court case, and the lawyer was like, all right, listen, I'm going to tell you generally what's going on, and I need you to sort of figure all this out for yourself. Like, what are you hiring? You're not hiring the lawyer like so that you have to study everything. No, like, they're going to explain it basically to you, tell you exactly what you need to do. They're going to spoon feed everything to you, like, so you can get it. It's like you didn't study to be a lawyer. So it's the same exact thing.
Yeah.
And I, unfortunately, I don't even, it's not like malicious. I think a lot of them also have trouble distilling the information down. And this is, it's essentially called the curse of knowledge.
Yeah.
Where you know so much about a given topic, you actually forget what it was like to be a very beginner, and you sort of forget where most people really are. I think my Instagram over the last 6 to 8 months has really surprised the science-based community, because they're seeing the comment section from people when I'm posting these things that to them in the science-based world is very common knowledge, but then they go to the comment section, I'm getting 300, 400, 500, 600 comments from people who had no idea that
that was the way it is.
Eat, that you could eat like in a different way, that you could eat like intermittent fasting, and that you could you don't have to eat six small meals a day. Like, they're shocked that that the majority of people don't actually know this. And for me, that's incredible, because now they're like, holy shit, like, I've been so stuck in this science-based bubble. I didn't realize that, like, that's just one teeny tiny grain of sand in an overall universe of people who don't know.
No, I think I completely agree. I think the real big stuff at the moment, and I like that, it's a case of just that distillation of knowledge, and it is our job. I think that's one of the, I suppose, with even the likes of the advent of social media, I don't know if there is necessarily it should be utilized as an excuse that, like, okay, well, it's a bit too dumbed down. I think I agree with you. I think it needs to be dumbed down, and like not dumbed down, but it definitely needs to be explained in a much more straightforward way for people to actually be able to implement it, and to actually be able to implement this on a very consistent basis. I think that's one of the things that every so often, like going back to the kettlebells, for me, a kettlebell is a fantastic tool, and it's an amazing world to get into. But a lot of people will have said, they'll come to the gym and they'll be like, yeah, I've done a bit of kettlebells before. And I go, cool, no problem. And I'm no mad expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I've spent a bit of time digging quite deep into them. And someone will demonstrate a movement, and I'll go, okay, hang on, we've got a couple of bits here. And it's basically just because they may not be moving very well, because their original coach has not maybe actually broken the movement down into a more straightforward way. Even if it is coming to nutrition coaching, which is a huge, huge part. And I think something like that, looking at your posts on Instagram and a lot of other people that are kind of utilizing your framework, they're really nice tidbits that people can digest and can get and can enjoy actually trying to implement. So I think that's a fantastic way of looking at it. But I do think you are right that we care. Some of the science crew definitely cares a little bit too much, and maybe gets a bit misguided on some of that. But I think a lot of that comes back to, everybody wants their people or their clients to be the best they can be. And some coaches I definitely know want them to be athletes of some kinds, when they may not necessarily want to be an athlete of any kind. They just want to be a normal person having some fun.
exactly, man. There's a lot of reasons for it. It's really interesting. But I mean, what I will say is this, like, you mentioned, it was funny, like, you said we need to dumb it down, and then, like, retracted and said, like, well, not dumb it down, but, like, you know, just make it more easily digestible. Dude, I think we do need to dumb it down.
Yeah.
And that's not said in a negative connotation. In the same way, I would want a lawyer to dumb down the law terms for me.
Absolutely. Like,
it's not a bad thing. It's literally, it's just like, I am completely ignorant when it comes to law. I have no idea. So by all means, treat me like an idiot, and like just I just want you to tell me exactly what I need to know. Don't tell me like the reason this law was created was back in 1782 and this blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't need to know that. Like, just tell me what to do now so that I don't go to jail. Yeah. Right? Like,
completely.
It's the same thing. Like, most clients, not all, there are some clients who are so interested in what's going on, they'll ask you for every reason and the scientific process, and that's amazing if they want to, by all means, like, and you should share it with them. But most of them literally just want to know what to do and how they can get there fastest. And like, if you look at my Instagram, like, I use cartoon pictures and images, and like and I use a lot of, I just got a comment today from someone who was like, thank you so much for making fitness hilarious and easy to read and digestible instead of just spitting out facts.
Awesome.
It's like, if you don't make it something that's enjoyable for them, then they're not going to do it, because if fitness was already enjoyable for them, they would already be doing it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I think that's actually really interesting. I think if anything, I know, looking back at the likes of this is the whole general social media, but I think that's one of the ways that it's a really, really great avenue for actually informing people in that kind of a sense, in those kind of small little tidbits that they can really get And you can actually build quite a good story. Like, you can build a really good framework of good health via a lot of those types of posts and that type of content. And you would definitely be able to get a lot of really good progress from people, because like that, they can just get that consistent. And you're like, you would be building habits in those people inadvertently because of your consistency of posts and because of your consistency of good content. Do you think that kind of mentality has changed in the last kind of while, since you've been working with the likes of Gary and since you've moved to New York and stuff, and just kind of maybe pushed yourself a little further outside your comfort zone? Or do you think it's something that everybody can kind of get into, not necessarily exactly kind of stealing your thing, but definitely pushing a little bit more of a straightforward and very easy to build habits type of an agenda? Do you think that's something that we should all kind of strive for, or have you just had a big shift in change in mindset in the last number of years or months?
You know what's going to be really interesting? A lot of people have been asking me like, what made you change, like, the way, like, mm-hmm. your content, like, how come you're doing this? And the reality is, mm-hmm. From 2011 to 2015,
yeah.
or 2011 to 2014, I was writing a bare minimum of one, usually 2 to 3 articles every week on my website.
Yeah.
I had already had well over 1,000 posts on Instagram
mm-hmm.
before I started this new strategy back yeah. in April.
Mm-hmm.
I had like 1,200 posts.
Yeah.
I had a number of podcasts. I had thousands of YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Like, I had a ton of content already mm-hmm. made. And if you go back and look at that content from 2011 to before leading up to April 8th,
when it's really good stuff. I've seen it. It's really good stuff.
Thank you. I appreciate. Thank you. Basically, I'm saying the exact same stuff. Like, I'm saying the exact same stuff. The difference is how I present it.
Yeah.
It's solely in the presentation of how it appears on, specifically on this one platform of Instagram.
Yeah.
And actually, if you go through my Instagram, because I basically tried a whole number of different methods, because I had a challenge from Gary. Gary challenged me on December 28th.
Yeah.
He said, I challenge you to post 3 times a day every day on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
At that point in time, I was posting maybe once every 1 to 2 days, so yeah. like 5 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took the challenge and posted 3 times a day every day from December 28th until April 7th. And you can see this. You can go through my yeah. Instagram and you will see the different phases that I went through, like, very clearly. And then on April 8th, I tried something new, which was this new infographic, and just like on a whim, and it literally like quadrupled the interaction that I had on
wow.
any other post in my entire career. And I was like, holy shit, well, that's onto something.
Love it.
And I posted another one a couple hours later, boom, same thing. Like,
sweet.
A little bit less of a response, like, still,
yeah.
like, completely outdid any other post I'd done prior.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. Every day, Great. 3 times a day, that, like, doing one of those things. And, but the way I would get ideas for the content is I'd go back in my old content and say, oh I said this. Like, this is literally exactly what I said. I'll make a graphic on this. And
awesome.
Like, it's all the stuff has been said over and over and
exactly,
over again.
Yeah.
It's just now it's put in a way that people can, number one, it gets their attention. It's like, ooh, it's a graphic. And number two, like, it's easily digestible and you
yeah.
can understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't read my long caption, if you just look at the picture, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's the best way to really approach it. I think that's where, like, especially even with online clients, it's a fantastic way of working it. Jordan, I'm not going to keep you too much longer. I know you got to head away. We're going to kind of leave it with that. Have you got maybe two big tips for, be it young coaches or old coaches, or have you any particular pleas for us all the rest of us coaches to kind of keep the game strong? Is there anything in particular you kind of recommend for younger coaches, like you would have had the experience of getting in at a very, very young age and kind of really getting into it as a career nearly? And is there anything in particular that you can see that they can do to really build their own businesses or their own brands? Not necessarily even just like via Instagram, but definitely to try and go towards. Have you got a couple of tips for us?
Yeah,
us regular Joes.
A couple. I think like number one, the main thing that I like everyone, whether you're brand new and you're young and you're excited, or like you're more of a veteran in the industry. Is if you're trying to build an online brand or anything, the number one thing you need is patience. Because if you think that you are going to build a massively successful business in a year online, you are out of your fucking mind.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, it's not going to happen. And you might hear that and logically think, of course not. Like, I don't think that. Mm-hmm. But then if you're not posting every single day, day in and day out, creating new content, like being consistent every single day. Mm-hmm. And then after 3 months, 6 months, a year, you're frustrated because you still don't have a successful business.
Yeah.
You need to really, like, call yourself on your own bullshit.
Yeah.
And realize, like, you weren't consistent enough.
You're just not doing
over a long enough period of time to actually see success, in the same way that you would tell your client, listen, if you're not eating, like, if you're not hitting your numbers consistently, if you're not going to the gym consistently, you're not going to get your dream body in a year.
It's just not going to happen.
Mm, it's one thing to say it for fitness. It's another thing to recognize it in yourself and business. Exactly. So patience and outrageous amounts of hard work for years before, like, you really get to a point where you're like, wow, like, this is something that is, like, pretty, it could be a behemoth.
Yeah.
Just, like, really, really, like, internalized, it's a long, long battle.
Yeah.
And going off of that, I think the number one reason that most coaches nowadays fail with the online stuff, and the reason that I didn't, is because my goal was not actually to make money. It was not to build a business. And this is pure raw luck, because when I started my website, I didn't even know online coaching exists. Like, it wasn't even really a thing when I started it. Like, online coaching hadn't really begun yet.
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't start my website and my blog and my YouTube and Facebook and all that stuff with the intent of making money. I started it with the intent of helping people, which meant that my focus was essentially every time someone said, wow, great article, or wow, that video really helped me, that was my version of getting paid. Where, like, that was the win. This is working. I'm making progress. Whereas too many coaches now are like, I'm not getting any money in my PayPal account, so this isn't working. Yeah. It's like, if your focus is on making money, you will burn out and fail.
Yeah.
If your focus is on helping people and reaching a larger audience with the goal of helping more people succeed, you will win. It's just going to take time.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's absolutely. I think that's a great way to finish it. Thank you so much, Sean. So guys, I'm gonna throw a lot of Jordan's links and his articles. He's got a huge catalog of articles, like you said, Jordan. I've looked back at a lot of your good ones from Juggernaut, from Elite FDS. You got a fantastic background catalog, which is excellent, really, really good. But even still, guys, the Instagram account is one to definitely check out. It's fantastic. Jordan, thank you so much for popping on, and I hope you have a fantastic evening, dude. And
best thanks, man. I appreciate you having me. You as well.
Best of luck training with Gary, and we'll keep an eye out for him when he's on the way to the Jets.
Thank you so much, man. I'll talk to you soon, all right?
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jordan. Thank you. Cheers, dude.